ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a canto 5, chapter 9. And there is two verses, because verse 16 there is no purport. So I will read the verse 16 and the verse 17. Oh. So we're continuing with the very nice story about the character of Jat Bharat. And it's we are at a critical time, if we remember, when Jat Bharat is on the verge to be actually assassinated, we can say, like this, by very cruel and ignorant people. So the verse 16. I will read still like we do the last few days, although it's in prose. It's nice to always read the Sanskrit. Prabhupada said, even if we don't understand the words, just to recite and to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, actually it's extremely have a purifying action on ourselves. So I will still read. Atavishala Rajapani Purusha Pashura Shri Gashavena Devim Bajakalim Akshamanastad Habiman Chitam Ashimati Karala Nishitam Upadati. At this time, one of the thieves, acting as the chief priest, was ready to offer the blood of Jat Bharat, whom they imagined to be an animal man, to the goddess Kali to drink as a liquor. He therefore took up a very fearsome sword, which was very sharp, and consecrating it by the mantra of Bajrakali, raised it to kill Jat Bharat. Verse 17. Iti tesham vishalanam rajastama prakitinam danam adaraja, vichikta manasham bhagavat kala virakulam kadati kritiopatina. Sviram viharatam isam viharanam karmati darunam yad barama bhutasya sakshat brahmashi shutasya niverasya sarva bhuta surida sunayam apya nun malam alambanam tad upalabhya brahma tejasati durvishahena danda yamanena vapusha sahasho cha chata seva devi badrakali. Translation and purport by His Divine Goswami Prabhupada. All the rogue and thief who had made arrangement for the worship of Goddess Kali were low-minded and bound to the mud of passion and ignorance. They were overpowered by the desire to become very rich. Therefore, they had the audacity to disobey the injunction of the Veda, so much so that they were prepared to kill Jat Bharat, a self-realized soul born in a Brahman family. Due to their envy, this dacoit brought him before the goddess Kali for sacrifice. Such people are always addicted to envious activity, and therefore they dare to try to kill Jat Bharat. Jat Bharat was the best friend of all living entities. He was no one's enemy, and he was always absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was born of a good Brahman father, and killing him was forbidden, even though he might have been an enemy of or aggressive person. In any case, there was no reason to kill Jat Bharat, and the goddess Kali could not bear this. She could immediately understand that these sinful dacoit were about to kill a great devotee of the Lord. Suddenly, the deity's body burst asunder, and the goddess Kali personally emerged from it in a body burning with an intense and intolerable effulgence. Pure Paul. According to the Vedic injunction, only an aggressor can be killed. If a person comes with an intent to kill, one can immediately take action and kill in self-defense. It is also stated that one can be killed if he comes to set fire to the home or to pollute or kidnap one's wife. Lord Ramchandra killed the entire family of Ravan because Ravan kidnapped his wife, Sita Devi. However, killing is not sanctioned in the Shastras for other purposes. The killing of animals in sacrifice to the demigods, who are expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is sanctioned for those who eat meat. This is a kind of restriction for meat eating. In other words, the slaughter of animals is also restricted by certain rules and regulations in the Veda. Considering this point, there was no reason to kill Jai Bharat, who was born in a respectable, highly exalted Brahman family. He was a God-realized soul and a well-wisher to all living entities. The Veda did not at all sanction the killing of Jai Bharat by rogues and thieves. Consequently, the goddess Bhadra Kali emerged from the deity to give protection to the Lord's devotee. Srila Vishvana Chakravarti Thakur explained that due to the Brahman effulgence of such a devotee as Jai Bharat, the deity was fractured. Only thieves and rogues in the mode of passion and ignorance and maddened by material opulence offer a man in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. This is not sanctioned by the Vedic instruction. Presently, there are many hundreds and thousands of slaughterhouses throughout the world that are maintained by a puffed up population, mad for material opulence. Such activities are never supported by the Bhagavad school. Om Aginati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuri Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakaramayam Datati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radevina Vaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyasya kripasindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasati Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So we continue this description of the pastime of Jai Bharat, who was Bharat, King Bharat, in his last life. There's actually, it's a long purport and it's a long translation, so I will go a little bit through all the different aspects and ideas, very interesting, different understanding that Prabhupada elaborated in the purport about this pastime. It's quite, like it was explained yesterday, a very crucial time when actually those people, Dicot, very low person, governed by the mode of passion and ignorance, they were just ready to kill Jai Bharat, who was as is explained actually in a verse, he was of course the son of a Brahman, very actually respectful Brahman family, and only for this reason, any sane man would have not dared to attack him. But also, it was not easily understood by a common person. He was also, and specifically, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. He was a Mahabhagavat. But that, of course, we can understand. If those disciples, they were not even able to appreciate the fact that he was born in a Brahman family, what to speak of, understood this real spiritual elevation, his real consciousness. So this is a very, actually, one of, I will say, in the Bhagavat, all Bhagavat, and one of the worst offense you can, we can read, describe, actually, what's going on. It's terrific, if you think about it, because as we see, and those persons, they are ready to do the most heavy thing you can do in life. What's worse you can do than to kill a person, and they are ready to do it on a most elevated Vaishnava devotee. So this is very, actually, big offense, we could say. Of course, Prabhupada started the purport by saying how in Vedic injunction it is mentioned that there is different type of aggressor, of person they can be actually killed. It is mentioned in the Shastra that when a person is attacking your wife for whatever kind of reason, you have the right to kill this person. Or even if a person is trying to put fire on your house, you have the right to kill your person. So it's really funny in the sense that we see in the modern society. I was, some time ago I remember, I was reading newspaper how two young person, they went to rob the house of an old man who was living alone, a very old man. And the old man happened to have a gun in his house, and when he tried to defend himself, he shot one of the guys. He didn't die, he was just hurt a little, some bullet in his body. But you know what happened? This young person, the family, they went on court case against the old man because he injured the young robber, the thief. And worse than that, they win the court case. Actually, the old man went to jail because he was just trying to defend. And so that's the modern society, actually. It's really completely upside down. I mean, it's terrible. But actually, in the Vedic time, it is explained, such a person, you have the right to kill this aggressor. But in this case, of course, that's not at all the situation. Those Daikot, they were going to kill Jad Bharat just because of their nasty consciousness. It is explained that they were just motivated by wanting to have, they were really greedy, and they were thinking that by performing such so-called sacrifice, and they will get more wealthy. That was just lust. Because of this, and they were thinking there's nothing really wrong to kill such a person anyway. It just looked like an animal. And they even concocted their own sacrifice in order to justify what they were doing. So we should understand, it is, as it is explained in a purport, no, in a translation, that such people are always addicted to envious activity. You have to be envious, in other words, to act like that. We could say, well, after all, they are just in the mode of ignorance. So they don't really realize. But to be in such a low situation of ignorance is not by hazard, by chance. It's because of your enviousness that you are. Like just Krishna explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that those miscreant, those unused people, those demoniac people, I throw them in hell, and they have to remain like this for an eternity, for life and life after life, for a very long time, because of their unused nature. So there's no other solution in another world. So it's not by chance, although we could say they are in ignorance, we should understand that people who are acting in such a way, and they are by nature very envious. Prabhupada explained also that to kill animal, for example, that means you are envious of other. Otherwise, you don't kill. Again, we could say, oh, it's just ignorance, they are attached to their tongue, so they want to eat the meat. But the original sin is because they are envious of other. They don't care at all, and they want to enjoy beyond all any rules, and they don't care about the life of other. So that's the situation in the present time, in the Kali Yuga, especially in our society. Although things seem to work quite well, people seem to be quite educated in the eyes, at least of people, when they think about the past. They always think that people, they were not so developed, the society was not so evolved, and the education now is so bright. But if you consider on this level, actually it's a very, very, very low and demoniac society where we are living. And Prabhupada end up the purport by saying that presently there are many hundreds and thousands of slaughterhouses throughout the world that are maintained by a puffed-up population mad for material opulence. Such activity are never supported by the Bhagavad school. So this is what we have to work with as a devotee. We have to be conscious where we are living. It's not a nice developed society where we are living. Not at all. It's just actually very, very demoniac society. I mean, there is some hope, and I personally think it's only by the preaching of the last 40 years by the mercy of Prabhupada that some more and more people are becoming conscious how actually slaughterhouse and meat eating is not so well. There's more and more people, but in general, there's still a lot of work to do. And as I say, I mean, I was personally born in a very degraded family. I mean, the devotee, they say this, but in my case, it's not just to make a show of being humble, but it's a fact that my father, I remember when I was 5 years old, he was cooking. So now you have to know my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. Actually, their job was to be pig butcher. That's what they were doing. And I remember what he was doing, specifically my father. One of these cooking was, they took the lobster, you know, these big animals with big in a sea. Eh? It's called lobster. Eh? So in order that they look nice, believe it or not, when the people going to eat it, it looked beautiful, red. You know, it's red. It should be really shiny red. The best way they found, all the French cook and know this, they have to put alive in a boiling water. And I remember I was 5, it's not a joke. At this, he was throwing in the water, hot water, and you could hear scream. They were screaming before they die, burn alive. So just to have satisfied the tongue, you can see what people they can do. And of course, my father, I could say, he's a nice man. I mean, he seemed quite nice normally, but you say, maybe, oh, he was just in ignorance. But it's not by chance. It's just because of envy. So in this way, we have a great duty in front of us to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, because the situation is very, very sad. So the Prabhupada explained in the Shastra that the killing of animals in sacrifice for the demigod, or expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is sanctioned for those who eat meat. And he said that this is a kind of restriction for meat eating. So, yeah, there is, it's true, in the Shastra you can find actually a statement how you should, you can offer meat if you want. And, but it's all different process, and I think it's Maharaj, I don't know, who explained, like for example, you at least you don't kill a cow, you kill a goat, and when you're going to kill it, you have to go in your ear and you say, my dear goat, today I'm killing you, but next life you could kill me. You have to say that. Just to make, trying at least the person, when each time he kill an animal, and gradually he will come to a sane consciousness, what is he doing? So there is a process like this. It's not that they actually the Shastra are not advocating killing of animals, but it's mentioned in order to at least regulate and gradually decrease. Just like we all know for sex life is the same, we have regulation. Because actually gradually by regulation we will understand what it is, and it's not actually illicit sex life. It's not at all something great. And gradually, although we may be attached, we will become gradually detached by this, by following certain kind of rule and regulation. So the same for meat, people who eat meat. Gradually, by following those instructions, they will become detached. And of course, in this story, Jat Bharat, as a pure devotee, his behavior was just so amazing because he didn't at all manifest any fear or trying to escape his position. I mean, that was a very fearful situation when you have people who are just going to kill you with a huge sword. But Jat Bharat, he was completely dependent on Krishna in another world. And this is the symptom of a Mahabhagavat, a liberated soul. He has no fear anymore for anything related to his body. It's not just a show, but it's a reality. He don't fear at all. It just depends on Krishna. He knows Krishna will, even if I die, so what? I get a better body or I go to spiritual. What's the problem? So that's the situation of a Mahabhagavat such as Jat Bharat. And on top of it, he knows that Krishna, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke, that if Krishna wants to kill someone, who can save him? And if Krishna wants to save, protect someone, who can kill him? So the Vaishnava has the proper understood. Everything is depending on Krishna. So in this situation, we can see actually how very elevated was Jat Bharat, and as such, he was not at all afraid to be killed by those rock, those dicot. He was God-realized soul and a well-wisher to all living entity. That's the position of a pure devotee. So, I will end up the class by speaking, because actually we speak about killing of a pure devotee, which is, I guess, the worst you can imagine to do. We know there is three levels of offenses. You can have offense in your mind, which is the not so big offense, we will say. But then you have the offense when you say the offense to a devotee or to anyone. And the worst offense is a physical offense. So we can see the difference here. We have those people, they are ready to commit the most heavy offense, physically killing a pure devotee. And at no moment they have any clue or any realization what they are doing, that they did any offense. They do the worst, they are going to do the worst, but they have no any realization. So that's the situation of a materialistic person. More we are materialistic, more we are conscious of offense we are doing, less we are conscious of the offense we are doing. And you have other story, specifically with Vaishnava, with devotee, you can see the difference of the mentality of consciousness. Although they actually don't do, in general, any offensive action, they always are afraid to commit offense to other living entity or Vaishnava specifically. We have this nice story, I'm just reading those days, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and it's a story also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a really nice story about there is a very special, we could say, but a very elevated devotee of Lord Chaitanya who is called Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So it's very nice, I mean, it's very attractive in general to the devotee, because one particularity of this Vaishnav, although Lord Chaitanya, he was calling for him, he was so much love for this Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he called him father, father. In fact, in previous life, I guess, I'm not 100% sure, he was the father of Radharani in his previous life. So you can imagine who is he. But what was really amazing and we could say unusual in that in this life, he acted as he was a very big enjoyer, materialistic person. So much for that he was surrounded by servant, he has a big cushion, very elaborate. He have where you when you eat some apple of food, you spit in a thing. He had four there, and he was spending his time spitting around. So what happened? The story is narrated a little different if you read the Chaitanya Bhagavad or Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will not go into the detail, but one of the highest and closest devotee, Vaishnava servant and devotee of Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhara, the Panchatattva, who is actually, as we know, an emanation of Radharani. He was told to go to visit this Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He didn't know. So he went there. I don't remember. He went with another Vaishnava, but I can't remember. Mukundaya. So they went there. And Lord Chaitanya said, you will see he's a very, very dear devotee. He's very elevated. You can learn a lot from him. So he went there. And what happened? He saw this person was seeming to really enjoy, like in his big mansion with servant, and he just started to have slight doubt about, because of course he don't want to doubt because Lord Chaitanya say, but still he didn't know what to think about this situation, because it appeared really obviously that the person was just enjoying sense gratification like a mundane ordinary person. So he didn't dare to say anything. He didn't even say anything wrong, but the story is different. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, they say he went back to Lord Chaitanya, was sending back. But in the Bhagavad, they say it happened the same day. But to make it short, at one point, he was having this kind of thought. I don't really understand the position of this person. And the other Vaishnava, he start to sing a verse, I don't remember the verse about Krishna, and immediately this Pundarik Vidyanidhi, it start to manifest, you know, the most highest level of transcendental emotion, and it start to roll on the on the floor. The servant, they have to try to grasp him, and he become mad of love, you know, and Gadadhara, he just realized, my God, what I was thinking about this man, about this person, that, and he just feel I offend him, and he decide that in the only way to actually nullify my offense is to take initiation from. So that's the story. So you can see the different, as I say, of mentality. A Vaishnav usually he never commit offense, but even if he have a slight doubt that he don't act properly toward another Vaishnava, immediately he feel bad and he want to apologize and anything in order to contract. When a materialistic person, he think everything he's doing is always the best. That's the difference. So we can judge by this where we are ourselves. That's actually very nice level of to see our position, and we can testify many times actually in fact we don't have enough appreciation of other Vaishnava, and many times we have as a neophyte a kind of materialistic vision of people who are around us. But we should try to develop this feeling of love and compassion for every entity. And we will see in the next chapter, I was reading a little of Jad Bharat. Then, after this story, finally he escaped this Dicot, so he was still alive. And he happened to go in contact with a king called Rao Ghana. And Jad Bharat, this king, he had four people. He had people who were carrying on a palanquin, so they didn't have enough person. So they saw Jad Bharat, well, this crazy guy, but he's strong, so let him take, and he's going to help us. Jad Bharat, okay. And he went to help to carry the king. And what happened, Jad Bharat? He was full of as we say, appreciation, and always respectful, always more humble and grass and tolerant. So you accept to carry the king, but in the same time he didn't want, when he was walking, to step on, there was a little ant on the floor. He didn't want to kill them. So you can imagine the situation, because Jad Bharat was carrying and he was in the same time trying to not walk on so the king become very disturbed, and he start to actually yell at Jad Bharat, "What are you doing? You're crazy." And Jad Bharat first didn't say but anything, he didn't respond, but he just continued. But again the king become even more, and he start to be really gross, actually, they say the king, gross words towards Jad Bharat. So at this point, Jad Bharat started to speak, to explain what he was doing. And at this point, the king, he realized actually who was Jad Bharat. And he started, because he was in the heart, he was a devotee, and he started to feel very bad. And he just went down from his palanquin, paid his obeisances, and started to inquire from Jad Bharat about spiritual life. And in this way, he got the full benefit. And that's the way actually we can get the full mercy of the Vaishnava, is when we act properly, they will give us the full benediction, the full mercy. But Prabhupada Krishna, he wants to see that we are actually have the proper mentality, we are humble enough. There's this Prabhupada, when he was in his pharmacy, in his office, in his shop, he said one time to one of his friends, "I've discovered the recipe for love of God." And this person, the friend of Prabhupada, said, "So what is it?" And Prabhupada said, "This Trinadapisunichena, to be more humble and a tree, tolerant." And so that's the start. That's what actually will give the you have the red light, you cannot go further, the green light, what will give us the green light to go for Krishna consciousness, for purification, is that we develop this proper mentality of humility, and we respect everyone else, what to speak of Vaishnava. So I will stop maybe because it's late. Maharaj, you want to add something? I'm sure, no? Someone want to say something, maybe? Yeah, Mataji?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that it seems quite a restriction in order they don't. Yeah, it's bogus. Right. Okay. One last question. You mean we don't know always who the people are? It's our great difficulty because we are all conditioned in our own specific body, psychological, physical frame, and we, according to this bodily we tend to see everything and specifically everyone else in a specific way, but it's very actually far from the reality most of the time. The basic activity of a material body in this material world is to eat, to defend. Such activity, and everyone else, we have this animalistic tendency to evaluate the other according if they are going to facilitate those activities for us or not. And it's just a very, we could say, animalistic mentality, and it's still present even as a devotee. We are always afraid, or this person is not going to take something from me, or to we try to actually defend ourselves from others and to judge them according if they're going to satisfy our sense or not, satisfy our mind or not. So we have to make a conscious effort actually to become very humble and accept that our vision is imperfect, our senses are imperfect, we are subject to illusion. We are more or less, to make it short, we are more or less a kind of crazy. So how you can actually behave properly with other person if you are crazy? And that's the situation Prabhupada say, in fact, that everyone in this world is in a type of dimensional craziness. Even so-called very learned people in mode of goodness. So with this we have to be conscious where we are, and even as a Vaishnav, because we just start Krishna consciousness for most of us, at least in this life, so we have to be very careful the way we behave, and the best way is to be very humble, in the sense that we never judge people according to our so-called understanding. We should all have a respect for all living entity, and understood that ultimately everyone is a servant of Krishna. And that's the position of the Mahabhagavat. Of course, we don't try to imitate the Mahabhagavat, but the Mahabhagavat really think that everyone is engaged in the service of Krishna, just except himself. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Gopi Minandi.